Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Hey, if you suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-322-HURT. That's 713-322-HURT. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
Conversation continues on the bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
In the Astros have Seattle going. It's a late night game. It's going to be on ESPN Plus, but late night Astros versus, well, it'll be on regular stations too, but it'll be on, it'll be the Astros taking on the Luis Castillo, and they're a small favorite, as they probably should be. Although Astros right now better on the road than on than at home, so keep that in mind.
They got a 9-game road trip now, which is it'll tell us a lot about. And you're going to have to do it with the likes of the Belacs and the Frances, and you know, whatever order Dusty puts them in. This lineup as well. So, I mean, it certainly is. This is a shell of what we're used to in our Houston Astros, certainly. So, hopefully, you know, it all comes together for them on the road for whatever reason. They like playing. They love the, I don't know, they just like to be up against it. They like the fans to hate them. Home is too comfortable, I guess, for whatever reason. Who has it had the... When they're at home, they have to deal with their wives and kids, so they really like it so much better on the road.
It was Reagan, wasn't it?
Who?
Was it Reagan?
Yeah.
I think so. I feel like he makes a point.
Yeah. I think it was Reagan. I think it might be Reagan. Yeah.
You poo-pooed it immediately, and I immediately thought, let's hold on to here. This. Let's think about this for a second. Although a lot of them, the wives are young, and they may only have little babies. Little kids, but
yeah, but
because these are still young guys. Well, these are guys in their 20s, 30s.
You can't sleep because you got a little baby.
No, that could be it. Yeah. It's not like they're dealing with snacks and Mason and crap like that in the car. Like, what are you doing? They're not old. If you're dealing with high school kids, then you're probably out of baseball.
Probably. Unless you're Jose Abreu.
Yeah, Jose Abreu might.
He's got,
then that would even have to be, even then, his. Yeah, he could.
He could have a 17 year old.
Yeah, he could. Yeah. Yeah, he could. He could. He could. So.
Well, I don't know what his family situation is. I know Longhorn Scott is here. He's part of the family. He's been a part of the family forever. What do you say, Longhorn Scott?
Guys, good morning. Happy Friday. This is a little bit of a back in my day post, or a call rather. A couple of thoughts. First is, buddy of mine and I, we not this year, but last year and the year before that, we coached an 8U softball team together, Spring Branch Memorial Sports Association, SBMSA, and we had a girl show up to practice late one day. Mind you, she's 8 years old, and mom's like, hey, sorry, we're running a little late. And by the way, it's a coach pitch league at that point. She's like, sorry, we're late. I'm like, oh, it's all right. You know, it happens. Yeah, she's a little tired. I'm like, oh, really, what happened? Well, we just did a pitching lesson. I'm like, you took your 8-year-old for a pitching lesson in a coach pitch league? Now, look, there's someone listening right now that's going, you're dang right, I do it too. I get it, that's fine. But this poor kid was whipped. She couldn't, I mean, she played terrible that day, and even that week, we had one, she did it before a game one day. I'm like, anyway, it's AU softball. These kids are supposed to have fun, get better, and then want to play again next year. The parents are trying to decide, I mean, you get caught up in this whole, like, my kids got to specialize. I've got to specialize. I've got to invest. And then I got these friends whose kids are on these travel teams. And I'm like, hey, man, I haven't seen you in a while. Where you been? Oh, you know, so-and-so's got this travel soccer team. Like, really? Where you been? And then they're like, they list all these, like, really exotic destinations they go to, like Wichita Falls. And,
Shreveport. You know,
these ridiculous, awful places where they sit in bleachers all day long.
I know, it sounds terrible.
Cooking like a potato, spending money out the wazoo. I'm like, you're going to spend a couple, like, $1,500 this weekend traveling to freaking Wichita Falls? I'm out. No thanks. What, dude, but Lance, you're right. What happened, man? The 80s, the 70s and 80s were so great, and everything that's fun is not fun anymore, man.
Yeah,
I don't know. It's if
the money's
kids,
so big, and the parents are so over.
Well, the parents want to live vicariously through their kids, and so they want to give them. Look, my kids didn't have private hitting, private lessons. I think my wife, not despises me, but I think she resents it that I didn't do more to get them private coaches or whatever. And look, if they had really shown that they love baseball, they wanted to, I would have, but they didn't. And I don't want to, like, hey, you know, just have fun. But the problem is you go play in a league with a bunch of other kids and you're way behind because those kids are all, you know, a lot of those kids are all having different coaches. And I'm like, come on now. A travel team, I couldn't even imagine. First of all, you know, I say that, but I never had a kid who was that good to be on a travel team. But I just couldn't imagine my whole weekends being gone. They play entire tournaments on Sunday. I've got friends who are in this stuff. Like, they're in tournaments all weekend, all Sunday long. They're just like Scott said, they're just outside in stands. They're staying at hotels on the road in Wichita Falls, and they've got a tournament, and all their Saturdays and Sundays are done. Like, you don't even get a weekend? No, this is the weekend. Well, that sounds terrible.
Yeah.
Watching Little League Baseball. The parents who love it, like, parents who are into it, like, it's huge to them.
It's awful. I did it. Been there, done that.
AAU circuit is the same
as
basketball.
Well, yeah, we didn't do that. But
travel?
But, yeah, all day tournaments are just the worst. Brandon wants to talk a little League. Hey, Brandon.
Yeah, hey, guys. So, Lance, you reminded me of, so when I was in Little League, my coach was probably 6'3", about, you know, 260, beast of a man. We're, you know, 10 years old, 9, 10 years old. And they would, instead of the bucket, they would line bats up behind you. They would put bats down. And if you stepped out, you would step on the bat and you'd roll your ankle and
fall,
eat it. And I'll never forget. He'd be pitching to us with a cigarette hanging out of his mouth. And Fox, if you step out one more time, I'm going to put this in your ear. You understand? I mean, and he would literally throw the ball as hard as he could at you.
Yeah.
And so it was it was terrifying. Always.
Yeah.
So,
we had.
Thank you for bringing that back.
But we learned stuff from that. Yeah. Like, you say what you want. I would never, if somebody did that with my kids. You know what? When we were playing terrible, I remember Walter Kelly. Now, Walter Kelly was a hardcore coach. His son, Kevin Kelly, was a umpire in Major League Baseball for a little bit. And then got into arguments with some players and or managers, and I think they got him kicked out of baseball. But anyway, if we weren't doing well, guess what that meant? And I was at third base. I was about to hit a rocket. In infield practice, I was about to get rockets hit at me. So you had to, like, A, you had to learn to come up with the rockets. But the other thing was you wanted to stay on point.
Right.
You wanted to, like, okay, I really want to get this because I don't feel like having him get pissed off and hit lasers at me on the hot corner.
No. One more, David. Let's get him in here. Hey, David.
Hey, boys. The problem is a lot of parents just don't know when they take these kids on these teams. They go for these teams that quote-unquote win, but their kid really is not doing well. So if you're not on a team that your kid's getting developed, why do you do it? Because you win all these rings, but your kid's 0-3 with two errors, and you think you're a winner. So, and plus, in the end, baseball seems so different than most other professions when it comes to teaching. You wouldn't take your car to a doctor to get it fixed. But yet, some guys that never done anything at a high level start doing all these contraptions and all this teaching.
Like Granato.
And yet, we take it to these places, to these folks, and your kid's not getting any better, but you're paying $70 an hour to get lessons, and it's just off the charts wild. And the money that's involved with this, $150 for this team, then you have to, you're made to get private lessons, plus they have contracts for nine-year-olds. Get real.
Contracts. Where's your son pitch?
Or your what
son's,
is mine?
Your son's a college player, right?
Yes, yes. He plays at University of Houston Victoria. And yeah. See, Terry Poole was their coach.
But okay? Wait, was he at that game where there was, wasn't he at the game where there was a shooting?
He told him, he said.
Yes.
He just called us this week and told us about it.
Maybe I was in the other room.
No.
Oh, no, that's right. ADHD. Yeah, I remember you did. Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
He did, yeah.
Yeah.
So did your son go on all the travel teams?
We stuck with one coach since he was nine. Magician. You know what? We stuck with one coach. We worked our butts off, and that's really what it came down to. But you know, they have all these PG rankings. Ooh, I'm ranked here and I'm ranked there. Man, Terry Poole made a quote a couple of years ago that said, we'll give every college athlete an opportunity, but things like driving a baseball and locating the pitch are what will earn you playing time. Not a thing about what team you played on, how many rings you got. None of that matters to these guys. Work hard. Do your job.
Do your job. Do your damn job. Thanks, David. His kid's good. His kid's a good player. That's good parenting right there. Just get out there and play. I don't need 30 different coaches. One guy, let's go. Be good. And you know what? Do your job. Play well. And if you don't, if you're not that good, then you're not that good. That's all. 812 ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776 is the number. If you want to get in here, you are more than welcome to do that. 713-780-3776. Get back to Texans talk on the other side. We're going to hear from Jimmy Ward about the locker room when we come back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Right now I'm talking about Mother's Day because Mother's Day is coming up and you want to get her something. Well, I keep talking about Houston injection. And oh, by the way, people are going over there and they are getting their shots for weight loss shots. And it's working, and it's great, and it's taking care of business. And if you're somebody that's looking to lose weight, you can do that. But you can also get her a gift card at Houston at 975medspa.com because women, listen, it's a spa. So, yeah, it's women. It was basically set up for women. But Amy says, no, I can help guys as well. I can remove laser hair. You can get Botox. You get weight loss. You can get facials. You can help your skin. You can do all of these things. You can get rid of hair, the unwanted hair that you don't want on your back and your ears, on your in your nose. And you can do it, and you can do it like, you know, it's not just for women. But here's the deal. It's also for women. And if you want to get her a gift card, that's a nice Mother's Day present for her. If you're looking for something for her, 975medspa.com. But if you want to feel better, look better, feel happier, boost your confidence, all of these things, you can do that as well. Lose weight, guys. You want to lose weight. This is an unbelievable plan. It's going on all over. You can get it done here at 975medspa.com, 975medspa.com.
ESPN 97.5. The godfather of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Golden State tied up the series one apiece. They laid into the Lakers and pummeled them. But the story was Klay Thompson, man, five threes in the first half. Klay looked light on his feet. Klay looked so much more spry and athletic than he did early in the season when he was having a difficult time getting shots off. He was coming off screens, and I mean firing. It was quick. He had good bounce in his legs and really looked like, I thought, RJ, I'm sure you stayed up for that one. I thought he looked like old Klay. Like, that looked like vintage Klay Thompson last night. He did not look heavy-footed like he did early in the year. Really looked good. Steph had a good game, but Steph was not it was the Klay Thompson show yesterday.
Absolutely, it was the Klay Thompson show. Also, you're seeing it again, these peaks and valleys with Anthony Davis. That's 30 and 20 in game one, and then, you know, finishes with, what, 11 points in game two. So it's going to be an interesting series. I wonder if Klay is going to be able to keep it up. It seems like a battle of, like, you know, who's going to be hot in this series, you know, who's just going to be hot for four games. So definitely going to be interesting to see what happens in L.A. I think the two games in L.A. will probably tell who's going to win this series.
Hmm. Yeah, Anthony Davis, he's the best player on the floor, and then the next game he's just – and it's the same with – but it's game two of series, especially when the road team wins. Max was talking about this morning. The last 17 games, the home team loses game one. The home team is 16-1 in game two and 15-2 against the spread.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Well, I mean, we saw it happen with the – as you mentioned, you know, I'm like, you look at what Celtics did, you look what these are blowout wins in game two.
Yeah.
Blowout wins.
In 50, because
it feels like it's been that way for a while.
Well, it's the Peter principle, right? It comes back to where it should be. The home team wakes up, and the road team feels like, well, we got our one win. We got a win.
There's a little bit of a letdown.
Yeah, there's a little. There absolutely is. And there was a lot of letdown with it. You had to be disappointed in Anthony Davis last night.
Absolutely, without question. I mean, what's with the peaks and valleys each and every game? I mean, he did it in the Memphis series, and it seems like he's doing it here. What pissed me off immensely was, after game one, Charles Barkley has to say, you know, if Anthony Davis is motivated, he should be the most unstoppable player on the floor. Why do I have to motivate you to play basketball? Why do I have to motivate you to be the most dominant force in a series where Golden State doesn't have an answer for you? So I don't know what they say to Anthony Davis. I don't know what he says to himself in game three, but I mean, you're going to have to take one out of two in LA, if not both, if you're hoping to beat the Golden State Warriors, if you're the Lakers.
Yep. All right. Jimmy Wood. And who else? Shaq Mason met the media yesterday. Jimmy Ward met the media and talked about coming over here with D'Amico Ryans. And he also talked about the locker room and, you know, what makes a good culture in the locker room. Here's Jimmy Ward on locker room culture.
But we gotta find our own culture. You know what I'm saying? We gotta create our own identity. We're not San Fran. We're Houston. So that's who we gonna be.
It's
from what I've heard, Jimmy is not going to be the, like, he'll lead by example. He'll be a fun guy to be around. He's not this hardcore, you know, the buck stops here type of guy. That's not his personality. He's more of a kind of a laid back, a guy who has a lot of fun and a guy who will keep things
loose.
Yeah, to an extent. Will be a good teammate, things like that. But maybe it's not going to be the, okay, you young bucks, saddle up here. I'm going to teach you how to be a veteran. That's not really his personality. They had other guys in San Francisco for that, so that's not really who he is. Maybe he'll take on more of a role like that in Houston. But, you know, Petrie, to be honest with you, Jalen Petrie feels like more of like an extension of D'Amico Ryan. So we'll see if that happens. But he is all about ball, about ball. Everything
good
about Jalen Petrie is about – coming downhill and hitting you. And I know D'Amico Ryan studied him when he came out of college too. So you got to remember, D'Amico will have opinions about these guys because he was looking at all of them when, you know, San Francisco was going through the draft the last couple of years. So he'll have an opinion on probably Greenard, but definitely Petrie, definitely Derek Stingley. He'll have his opinion about how they work best for sure. I do think the defense is going to put Stingley in a better position to succeed maybe than what Lovie ran. I do think we'll see that. And that's a big part of it. Stingley has to be a certain kind of defender.
Yeah. Well, hopefully. As a matter of fact, Nick Bosa was actually talking about – do you have the Nick Bosa sound? You don't. No, Nick Bosa was actually talking about Will Anderson and how D'Amico is going to use him. And he said, you know, I hear that Will Anderson watches a lot of tape on me. So I'm going to be interested to see him using my moves, Will Anderson using my moves, and see if he's how successful he can be doing that stuff, because he studies Nick Bosa and, you know, studies what Nick Bosa does, because that's what he's going to be doing in D'Amico's defense, which is good.
A two-hand swipe, Nick Bosa. Nick Bosa's got really good hands. The hand-fighting stuff where if you try to punch him, he will extinguish your hands, and then all of a sudden he gets by you. You're a great hand fighter, something Jadeveon Clowney never learned to do. Never, just never learned to be a
hand fighter. Yeah, where are you on bringing Jadeveon back here?
Is this a thing, too?
Well, yeah, he's out there.
I don't have to turn into a video where I'm misquoted. I'd rather not answer.
No, you can't not say stuff on the air.
I want him to come back to the Texans. Good player. Great player. He was a great player.
No.
What?
Stop already.
Okay.
What?
No, thanks. Yeah. I mean, it's fine. I don't have a problem against it. I mean, he's a 1 year guy. I mean, Jadeveon will never get his second contract because he wouldn't do what he had to do, and he overvalued himself. So he will go through his career never getting that quote unquote second contract. It'll be a series of short contracts because he's past the long contracts. I mean, he was drafted in 14, John. This is the ninth year for Jadeveon Clowney. It's been a lot of years for Jadeveon. I honestly, I feel like he screwed his whole career up, his opportunity. This is what happens when you have great potential, great, but you don't work at your game. Then you end up being a guy who's like, yeah, he's all right. You know, he was pretty good. Never reached double-digit sacks, never really worked on his game. He admitted as much when he was working at Danny Arnold's place. Just needed to start working on his game more, but it just was too late. He hasn't learned the moves he's needed to learn. I just feel like he threw his career away. I don't know why I'm feeling like that on a Friday, but I just think, man, here's a guy that could have been so much better than he was, and he just didn't work it. He just wanted to live the life, I guess, and it wasn't important enough for him to be the best football player he could be, because he could have been so much better.
Yeah.
He had some rare physical gifts. Great inside move, but never learned to grease the edge and get around the corner. And Nick Bosa did. Like, that's how quick it is. And Will Anderson's already way more skilled coming out of college than Jadeveon has been at any point of his pro career. He's not a better – Jadeveon's the better physical specimen, better athletic traits than Will Anderson, but Will Anderson's more skilled. And that's what happens that, you know, he also was not at South Carolina. He was able to take practices off, and – Nick Saban is the exact opposite. Not only are you going to practice, you're going to learn to play football. We're going to teach you skills. You're going to learn pass rush skills. You're going to learn how to be good with your hands. So when you draft Alabama guys, one concern is, A, they're beat to hell, because that happens. And then, but B, they're also, you know, the concern is, well, they're already going to be who they are. Like, they're already really well coached, so they may not get a lot better. Well, I mean, if that's your worst fear, is that they're already well-coached and game-ready, then that's not bad. You know, you'd rather have them to be skilled, although the thought was for some teams that there wasn't as much upside left with Anderson and there was more upside left with Tyree Wilson. You know, I do think it would have been – I think Tyree would have been drafted ahead of Will if his feet would have been – if he hadn't missed the season with – or hadn't had the surgery necessary for his – I know he had had one at Texas A&M, is where he had his first Liz Frank injury. His second Liz Frank injury on the other foot happened at Texas Tech. And then, you know, the big concern for people was he had to have hardware changed in one of his feet because the something about the screw, so they had to change the screw. And so the team started going, But if he had not had that issue, he has the type of physical traits and upside where teams, I think, would have potentially drafted him ahead of Will Anderson, to be honest with you.
Well, I wonder what would have happened if it had gone Young, Stroud, Anderson, Richardson, Witherspoon, and six was sitting there, and the Texans were at 12, and they said, we want to go up and get Tyree Wilson here. How much less they would have had to give up?
Oh, a lot less, because you know what? Detroit ended up getting out of that.
Yeah.
12 went 6.
Yeah.
12 went to 6.
To get the offensive lineman.
Yeah. So it would have been, 100%.
A lot less. What did they give up? A second rounder to move up, right?
Yeah, they gave up a decent amount to move up, but it was nothing. No. Actually, they didn't. They gave up a lot less. They gave up a second rounder. And a fourth rounder,
yeah,
too, I think.
Yeah.
To go from 12 to 6.
Yeah.
Yeah, you could have gotten Tyree much, much cheaper.
Much cheaper.
Much cheaper. So they could not have been okay with his feet.
No.
There had to be something with the medicals.
But listen, at 6, you could have taken a chance like that because you already had your quarterback. If you would have taken Tyree Wilson second now, you would have been, you'd have opened yourself up to a lot.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of scrutiny.
Competition.
No question. But if you got Stroud at 2 and you got Tyree Wilson at 6, you'd have gone, and you only gave up a second round. Maybe you gave up 33.
Oh, yeah, you could have given up a lot less and had that combo,
a lot less
without question. Oh. But you had to be okay with the medicals.
Yep. Absolutely, and it'll be interesting.
Fits,
boy, I hope Tyree doesn't have a better career.
D'Amico, yeah.
Yeah, I hope Tyree Wilson. I don't want to wish any ill on
him. I spent my whole
him.
Life hoping everybody drafted after. Ever since Kawhi Leonard, I'm like, live my life. Of course, Kawhi turned into a huge pain in the ass. But ever since Kawhi Leonard, yeah. Where the Morris, was it? It was Marcus Morris was drafted ahead of Kyrie Leonard.
Kawhi Leonard.
Kawhi Leonard. Ever since that,
yep.
When San Diego State's own got picked right after him, it's been a nightmare of like, oh my gosh. And you can almost remember all of them. Chris Bryant was Mark Appel, was after Mark Appel. Yep. You had Kawhi after, you had Julius Peppers after David Carr. I remember all of them. I remember every time that somebody has played better.
And realistic
Jadeveon
ones,
Clowney,
too.
Khalil Mack.
Right. Yeah. Khalil Mack.
Those are realistic.
Yeah, Aaron Donald's not realistic. But he wasn't realistic. He wasn't going to be taken first overall. Even though he was the best player in the draft, he wouldn't have been taken first overall. So realistically, yes, because Kawhi was the very next pick that the Rockets didn't take. The very next pick, which just ended up sucking. Sauce.
That goes down in Houston lore of somebody you could have had. Sauce
and you
Gardner.
Did, it's the very next guy. Same position. Time for you to talk about siding and windows, not stupid stuff like that.
No, and let's talk about the difference that Allstate Siding and Windows makes. It makes a huge, huge difference. When you're looking at Allstate Windows and Siding, you are looking at an opportunity to work with a company with multiple generations who have owned and worked, and maintained the company. Their name means something to them. But right now, they want to get you ready for spring by installing new windows and siding from Allstate Windows and Siding. The windows are made right here in the state of Texas for Texas weather, and you can take advantage of their spring window sales. Get this, you got 0% interest up to 24 months or get 12 months same as cash financing on all windows. You've got $150 off per window. And don't forget, you can still get up to $1,100 tax credit for new windows and doors. So you've still got a chance to get a tax credit if you would like. Get that. When you get your windows and doors, you get $1,100 that you can write off for the next tax season. They have military, senior citizen, and first responder discounts that are available for you. Give them a call today at 832-204-1936. That's 832-204-1936. Or you can connect with them online at allstatewindowsandsiding.com.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5. Are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
Ms. Nasal.
Downloading the season.
Welcome back. Yeah, I got to get on.
There's a couple of episodes that are really good. It's
season four, right?
Yeah, that's it.
Yep.
They're shutting it down.
That's it then?
Yeah, they decided to cancel it.
Oh.
Rider strike is going to shut a bunch of stuff down. Rider strike. Forget your shows. Whatever shows you thought you were going to watch, forget about it.
It is, huh? This is happening in real life?
Yeah.
No way. Stop already.
Yesterday, some writers threatened to spoil Succession and put spoilers online.
Really?
Like, what? Don't do that.
No, I'm
unless
not.
It ends with cousin Greg and Tom taking over Waystar. I don't care. Hopefully they spin that show off.
Cousin Greg.
Tom and Greg.
Cousin Greg. What is the foursome? The fearsome foursome? What were they?
Quad squad.
The quad squad.
I'm telling you.
What did he say? Go get me a coffee.
Yeah, go get me a coffee. It was Shiv said that. I love Jesse Armstrong. He is the one who's created Peep Show, one of my favorite comedies of all time from England. And he's the one who created Succession. And so his comedy every once in a while pops into it. Like you can see the same kind of comedy is in there.
The stuff that Roman says sometimes is
where
like,
it's cringy. But it's the same thing with Peep Show. That's why I always tell people about Peep Show, because it has the same level of some cringe and some just hilarious. Like you can't believe how funny something is.
I gotta find. Maybe I'll download Peep Show and watch that.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Go find Peep Show and yeah, download that. Were you going somewhere?
Yeah, I'm going. I'll go to see my granddaughter.
Oh, often you fly? Or are you taking that?
Fine.
Don't they have a silver bullet train track that's supposed to head straight to Dallas? And oh wait, that's right. Yeah. That's not happening.
No. We're not. No, I'm not doing that. No, thank you, though.
We have a retractable roof that doesn't retract for football. I don't know if anything's actually happening on 59 and 610, but I know it closes down all the time and causes massive traffic. But I guess something's happening over there. I don't know what it is. It's been a while. We've got construction on Shepherd for all of eternity. That will never change.
And West Alabama. Good Lord. It's forever. It's forever. Yeah, you can watch it. Oh, Apple TV. It says it's Pluto TV. I'm not downloading anything.
Forget Pluto you. TV.
Pluto TV.
Never heard of that.
Never heard of it. So Tank Dell. Tank Dell met the media the day before. And Tank Dell had this to say. When this first came out, I was like, whatever. Yeah, C.J. Stroud told the Texans to draft Tank Dell, and they listened to that quarterback who they just got. Well, apparently, there was something to that. Here's Tank Dell talking about his relationship with C.J.
Like, right after the combine, we was texting each other and stuff like that. And he was just telling me, like, man, he talked to me after the combine. He was just like, bro, I like how you run routes, like how you, play football. You know, he said he'd been watching me and stuff like that. And then I told him vice versa, and, I appreciated him and stuff like that. And then, like, I think it was, like, after he got drafted, I sent him congrats. And then I was like, tell him come get me. I told him to tell him come get me and stuff like that. And then he was like, I got you, trust me. And then the next day, I think he called me, he FaceTimed me out of nowhere, like I texted him. Yeah, I texted him and he FaceTimed me. And then he was like, man, I told him I want you, yada, 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 this, that, and the third. So I was like, okay, it can happen. And then, I got that call.
And apparently Tank Dell did say something to the Texans.
So the quarterback was drafted by the wide receiver was drafted by the quarterback.
Well, apparently the quarterback said, hey, go get Tank Dell. That'd be great.
Apparently there are some Texans fans who wish that C.J. Stroud had developed a friendship with Jalen Hyatt.
Yeah, right. I think Tank Dell's going to be better than Jalen Hyatt.
And he might be. I think he's incredibly.
You see the numbers on the wide receivers that lead the country in receptions and touchdowns? It's phenomenal.
No. Was Cooper Kupp one of those guys?
No.
He wasn't.
No,
huh?
But the list is tremendous.
Really?
Yeah.
Because usually they're like. There isn't it not at like gimmicky Hawaii or Washington State? Is it
no,
usually? I guess
no.
not. Huh?
It's usually a good. It's a is good wide right? receiver. Yeah.
Okay.
And
was Tank that guy?
I forget where. Yeah, Tank is that guy.
Tank led the league and.
Yeah, I mean it's amazing. Yeah, Tank Dell is. No. Yeah.
Well, I'm a huge fan of Tank Dell.
Tank Dell is
all the
numbers
teams,
wise one of the, is the best in the country.
Towards the end of the process, over the last 3 to 4 weeks. Everybody I talked to was excited about Tank Dell, and they were trying to work around his size. And I knew that would happen. Like, once you're getting closer to make a pick, you're like, his size. And then as you get close, the reality of how good he is on tape, because what happens is GMs will get to the tape later, and then coaches get to it. And then GMs will start watching again with their whole crew. Like, a lot of teams will turn tape back on. This will be in April, and they're stacking their board, and maybe there will be an argument about a cluster of players. And so the scouts, and sometimes coaches, the GM, all of them will, like, they sit in a room, they'll turn the tape on, and they watch tape together.
Mm-hmm.
And they get to say, look at this, I like this, I don't like this, and make their case for the player. So, it's funny because a guy like Tank Dell, where the tape is so good, all of a sudden you can't just rely on his size. You got to start actually acknowledging, man, he's really good. No one ever's around him. He gets open a lot. I know he's 163 pounds or whatever, but, man, let's talk about his football play. And so everyone is forced to really reckon with the tape as opposed to just the size. Early in the process, size. And then late in the process, like, man, what if somebody else gets this guy? What if somebody in our division gets this guy?
Yeah. He had 17 touchdowns, and he had 1,398 yards and led the country in both of those statistics. And Yeah, the list of somebody was rattling off the list yesterday that I was hearing, and it was like, holy crap, it's a good list of players. And if you're going to do those things, I guess at the college level, you're going to be pretty good at the pro level. But he's got a coach, and his coach is Delfonte Diamond, and who has a bunch of other wide receivers that he trains as well, including CeeDee Lamb and Deebo Samuel.
Is this the Footwork King?
Is he the Footwork King? I don't know.
Is he here in Houston?
Is he? He's here in Houston?
Yeah, that's Footwork King, probably.
He's the Footwork King?
I just know him as Footwork King, and his videos are crazy. Yeah. Like, a lot of good players are coming to him.
CeeDee Lamb, Deebo Samuel?
Yeah.
They're pretty good. Well, here's what he says about where Tank stacks up against those guys.
To be honest with you, Tank really fit in right, like right in with him. You know, CeeDee Lamb, Deebo Samuel, Richard, all them boys, like he really fit in right with him because of the simple fact that he understands the perspective. Like I told Tank, I told him he's ahead of the game. Like, in high school, he was already in college. In college, he was already in the field. He already understands the game. So I really believe he really stands right there.
So who is that? No, Footwork King is a guy named Rashad Whitfield.
Oh. So what he just said there, which was difficult to understand because of the noise in the background there, he said every step of the way, Tank Dell was a step ahead, was a level ahead of where he was playing. If he was in when he was in high school, he was playing like a college player. When he was in college, he was playing like a pro. So he is he's up there with the best, right? That he has coached, and hopefully he is going to be that same guy. I wouldn't be surprised at all. I don't mind. You know, we were talking about this. If you got Bijan Robinson, oh well. You know what you got? You got a really good football. Even though you got running back, really good. You're really good at running back already. You're going to get better. You're getting better. You're getting good football players. And I don't mind that you got John Metchie, and you get Tank Dell. I know you needed an outside guy. We'll see how you fill in on the outside. But if Tank Dell is dynamic and you can't guard him, then you got a really good football player. And I don't care the heat that you have. Two of like the same guys.
You know, it's hard for us to grab, and I'm including myself. Every year I grapple with this, every single year. And I've been doing the draft thing now for 9 drafts. And every year, and I've been studying team building for much longer than that, and it's still hard for me to grasp that NFL teams will take another good player behind another player that they just drafted or even that can play okay. They never think they have enough rushers. Like, I always think, okay, well, they've got 2 starting defensive end. They can't draft a defensive end. And then they draft a defensive end in the second or third round. And I'm just thinking, what? It's just so hard to wrap your head around that. But the way NFL teams look at this is, number one, first contracts a lot of times don't turn into second contracts. And then number two, they work rotationally. Same thing with wide receivers. That's rotational.
Yeah.
Other than your Andre Johnson's and, you know, Nuke Hopkins, they're in most of the time, but it can be a very rotational situation. And so it's always hard to grasp. Well, you've already got Metchie. Well, Metchie, let's be honest, Metchie didn't play football last year. We don't know if Metchie's going to be a good NFL pro. And so what? What if you have 2 guys that can play good? Then you're going to be rotating guys in that are both good. So NFL teams don't think of just, I've already got my first team. They think of the second team. They think of rotations.
I can't have 2 good guys just because it's similar size. You know what? That's on Bobby Slowick. Figure out how to get him on the field and make him play.
I did a show in Seattle, and they were like, yeah, but they drafted Zach Charbonnet. Like, they already have Kenneth Walker. I said, yeah, but the thing is, when Kenneth Walker's out of the game, they're going to beat on you with Zach Charbonnet, who can run outside zone too.
Yeah.
This is the way teams think, is we don't want to drop off. When one guy leaves, we want to be just as good with the other guy. And it happens to be that Tank Dell plays a position. Look, if you're playing tackle or guard or center, I get it. But every other position other than, you know, safety is pretty static also. But they want depth at cornerback. But wide receiver, if you're a touchdown scorer, I don't care that we've got players at that position. We want to go get another guy who can score touchdowns. And Tank Dell's a special teams guy. He's got elite punt return potential. So I'm very happy the Texans have Tank Dell. I would have been very happy if they drafted Jalin Hyatt. I didn't think wide receiver in the first round was going to make a lot of sense for them just because of how the roster set up. But it also gets back to the point that if they had drafted a guy like Jackson Smith and Jigba or somebody like that, or if they had traded back and grabbed a wide receiver, because my whole thing was, well, you paid Robert Woods $8 million guaranteed, so for sure he's going to be in there playing today this year. You have John Metchie, so you're already drafted a guy in the second round, and he's done because you draft a first rounder. And then you have Nico Collins, who I don't think is going anywhere. So they didn't draft a wide receiver in the first round, but I think primarily it was because they knew that they wanted to get a definitely defense this year, either two defensive players or quarterback and defense. But they were interested in getting wide receiver. They just waited until the third round, which they had to because they traded their second round pick also.
Yeah.
You know, or maybe wide receiver would have been the second round pick. Who knows? Because you didn't have one. You gave it away.
Yep.
But you got your quarterback.
713-780-3776, the number. If you want to get in here, anything that you want to talk about, you are more than welcome to do that with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Right now, I'm talking about golf. I'm talking about T-Box Texas. I'm talking about you going over and playing. I played with a guy yesterday on a regular course. Okay, he didn't quite live up to what he played at when we played together at T-Box. Okay, he shot 8 under. On a difficult course at T-Box. And then yesterday he didn't shoot 8 under on a regular course at Highland Pines. He didn't shoot 8 under. Let's just say he didn't shoot 8 over either. He shot a lot more. So here's the deal is you can, if you got that mat, you can play really, really well. You're going to have fun doing it. You can compete with your buddies. It is such a great place to go. And listen, there's couches there. People who don't play golf can just hang out. It's like, it's kind of like a bowling alley, if you want to know the truth, in that you can sit and talk. And when it's your turn, you get up and hit. And then you come back and everybody's drinking and having a good time. We got televisions. It's all. It's a great place to go. It's a bowling alley, only it's with golf. It's just so much fun. It's a great time. Women, guys, you can have parties there, whatever it is. You can have meetings there. You can teach there. If you are somebody who teaches golf and it's too hot outside or it's too cold outside or it's night, but you want to teach, you can teach there at T-Box Texas. You get swing speed. You get everything. You get ball, which way the ball, exit velocity, all of that stuff. You get all the statistics on there. So if you're looking for a great way to improve, just play golf and have fun. It's all the TboxTexas.com. TboxTexas.com. It's in the Kema area, League City. Get on down there and play. And enjoy TBoxTexas.com.
ESPN 97.5. Found the Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 852-713-780-3776, the number to hang out with us here on the show. John and Lance, Astros. Big series. Javier against Castillo tonight.
Good game. It's a playoff caliber game. I mean, from a pitching standpoint, you got two of the hot young pitchers, two of the guys who were considered to be Cy Young favorites this year.
Yeah.
So
no, we'll this see. Might be the best pitching matchup in baseball.
Javier has been a little, has not hit his Javier stride just yet. So hopefully that will take place. These are two offenses that are not performing at an elite level or even a good level. And Astros, let's face it, Astros last year were not. Astros last year were not the best hitting offensive team from a general sense, but they hit when they needed to in different clutch situations. But the pitching, you know, really kept you in it. Pitching and Yordan, yeah, Jeremy had the big home run, but pitching and Yordan are what kept you in. They helped you win the first game that Yordan did. The pitching in the mega game, of course, that was the lock it up in game three, but. Anyway, let's take a look at what we're dealing with tonight. You've got Javier, who still has his good strikeout stuff going, not quite at the same pace per nine, but he's still got his strikeout stuff, taking on a lineup that I think it's a lineup that has a chance to be dangerous. And then you've got the Astros lineup, which has not been as dangerous, going up against a player with tremendous stuff. So I'm a little concerned that the Astros are not going to be able to, you know, score what is known as a lot of quote-unquote runs.
what is known as a lot of quote-unquote runs.
What people are calling runs. I'm not sure there's going to be a lot of runs that are going to be scored.
So Castillo this year is pretty good. 38-8.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a .92 whip.
Mm-hmm.
He's 2-0. He has given up 3 runs to St. Louis in 5 innings. He gave up his last 2 outings have been 5 innings. 2 earned runs and 5 innings against Toronto. They lost that game.
How many pitches?
95 and 100 pitches over 5 innings.
Okay, so it's been a pitch count situation.
Yeah, and well, against Colorado, 7 innings, 2 hits, 91 pitches. He had 9 strikeouts and no walks in that game. He was fabulous against Colorado. But he really has been, he's been okay. I mean, against the Angels, 5 2/3 and 2 hits and 7 strikeouts, 6 strikeouts.
Thing. Here's where, if I'm Seattle, I'm very concerned with Castillo. He hasn't faced Jolks, Dubon, or Myers.
Right.
And yeah, great. In the playoffs, you were great until, you know, well, he was really, really good. But did he face Dubon in the playoffs?
Did they win that game, Jolks, or did they lose that game?
They lost that game.
They lost that game.
Dubon, Jolks, Myers. Have you faced the red-hot trio of Dubon, Jolks, and Myers?
Not as hot as they used to be.
No, they're less hot.
Yeah.
But they still, the other day, had hits.
Yeah. Right. Well, here's the deal.
I noticed that there was a 40-point drop in about, it just took like 3 games for Jake Myers' batting average to drop from .302 to .265. Didn't take much.
Dubon is 1-for-2 in his life against Castillo.
Owns him.
Jordan, 2-for-6, .333.
That's good.
Yeah, a homer. Okay. Is that any good?
Yeah.
Kyle Tucker is 1-for-3 with a homer.
.333. Wow.
Okay.
You'd go to the Hall of Fame.
Jeremy Pena, 2-for-3 against them with a double.
66. He's hitting .660 against them?
.667, yeah. Dubon's hitting .500. Jordan. Abreu, not so good. A single in 6 at bats.
Yeah, but he hasn't faced this. Yeah, but that's the old Abreu.
Alex Bregman, 0-for-6 against them.
Yep. Not as good.
Not as good. Just not
as
good.
How many punch outs? 3? No, 2.
He has struck out twice.
Okay.
Twice against them. The Astros, as a team, 11 strikeouts.
Check Maldonado.
Maldonado, not so good. 0-for-2 with 2 strikeouts.
Yeah, but that's a small sample size.
Well, it is a small sample size, but it's pretty indicative of him as a hitter.
It feels like after today, we will see.
Are you in the camp that Yiner should get more playing time?
I am. Yeah.
Now, Yiner has not looked good at times. Now, last game, he looked great. He had 2 of the 3 hits that they got. He threw out a couple of runners. He called a great game for Connor Brown. He looked good. He didn't look very good before that, though.
I think Yiner's got to have 2. I'd love to see him with 2 pitchers that he has full-time. I'd love to see him handling 40% of the pitching staff.
Yeah.
Because at some point, he's going to be he or Corey Lee, but, I mean, Corey's behind Yiner now.
Yeah.
So they're going to be your catchers of the future, I would assume. So if that's going to be the case, you know, at some point, you want to start the transition period.
Well, and here's the deal is you no longer need Salazar. You're not using Yiner. The way that Yiner's hit this year, you're not using him in left like you thought. You're not using him at first at all. You're not using him as DH. You know what? You only need 2 catchers. But here's the deal, too, is when you got a pinch hit for Maldonado late, you know, you might want another guy on the bench, although you've gone with 2 catchers for so long and you've had to pinch hit for Maldonado late in game. So you're just going to have to take that chance that Yiner's going to be able to, you know, catch an inning or 2 if need be, or extra innings and not get hurt. You just got to take that chance. Because Salazar is a luxury that you just can't afford when Chaz comes back, when Brantley comes back. I'm not sure that David Hensley is long for this world when Chaz and Brantley come back. Or Altuve as well. What spot are you going to? Who's going to take? What spot is Altuve going to take? So you're going to have to make decisions. And one of those decisions is Yiner is going to be the backup that's actually going to play. And you got to start to wean yourself from Maldonado if you're Dusty.
Light hitting defensive minded catcher.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, there's
because you know what? Yiner has got a rifle. Did you see those 2 throws he made last game?
Well, that's the thing that gave me the most hope. Is I was like, if we now the only argument you have now would be, you know, what is the catcher? I mean, what is his handling pitchers. How does Yiner handle pitchers? That's the only thing. That's the only thing really that you can hang a hat on now. If his arm is not substantial now, Machete still has a tremendous arm, and he's still going to be better defensively than Yiner. But if the arm, but if people aren't going to be running on him, Yiner Diaz, then my goodness, you're going to have a better bat. You'll have a similar arm if you can prove to be good in terms of handling the pitchers. And is that a little overrated? I think in terms of calling a game, a lot of times that's going to come from the coaching staff. Now pitchers can also call theirs with the pitch comm. Is that really a little bit overrated, handling pitchers? I think he goes and settles down some of the pitchers. I think he does a good job of going out there and feeling like a voice of calm for them. So I don't want to minimize that, but let's see if Diaz can do the same thing. Because ultimately, I'd love for Diaz to become the full-time catcher and a guy who hits better than. And I'd love for Machete to be a lovable. There haven't been a lot of lovable catchers in Astros history where you're very. Now he fits the mold of catchers that can't hit for the Astros. That's been going on since I was a child. But, and I know we have to break it now, but I'm going to have good feelings about Maldonado. Like, I want to leave. When Maldonado's done being an Astro, I'll have good feelings about him.
Forever we had the era of shortstops that couldn't hit, catchers that couldn't hit. Now it's first baseman that can't hit. We got that going on now.
Back to back.
We're starting
years.
An era. We're starting an era. And it's going.
I don't want an era of that.
Yeah, well, that's happening. Okay. 9 o'clock, ESPN. 97.5 and 92.
Remember, Yuli never got a multi-year deal. How about that? When Click and Leno were here, it was always like short deals with Yuli.
Yeah. Well, he got the initial five-year deal, and then...
And Yuli was a batting champ and got a year deal.
Yeah.
Abreu gets a three-year deal.
It was
deal.
Good that that happened because, you know...
It was great that that happened.
You were able to get out of it, but then you signed a three-year deal. Just, 30, you know.
Who's making
it's
that?
Time right now to talk about GiveMeTheVIN.com. John Clay Wolf giving you the deal of your life. John Clay Wolf is going to make sure that you are getting rid of that car with the most money that you could possibly get for it, because that's what John Clay Wolf does every day. You will hear John Clay Wolf on this radio station tomorrow buying cars on the radio. It's kind of glitzy. It's kind of a show that it is a show that he puts on, obviously, but he could do it all online. Instead, he likes to show off his talents. As soon as you call in, he can tell you now he's got people behind the scenes, I would imagine, you know, giving him some neighborhood of numbers. But John Clay Wolf's been doing this so long, he probably does it right off the top of his head. You're looking for the best way to sell that car to a guy who knows how to give you more money than anybody else will. He knows what the value of that car is, and yet he pays more. It's ridiculous. It's unbelievable how he does this, but he continues to do that. And then he goes to auction and he sells it. And a lot of cars he'll take a loss on, but a lot of cars he'll make some on. And he's built himself a $1 billion a year business doing that. And you know what? He continues to do it, and you don't get to a B unless you are able to, you know, give more. He gives more, so you take it. And he continues to do that every single year. You're looking for the best way to sell your car? GiveMeTheVIN.com.
Can we take a break?
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.